Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Stocks on Wall Street jumped this morning after the Federal Reserve announced it is holding interest rates steady and signaled that it's unlikely to raise them again this year. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said the economy is in a good place, but that growth seems to be slowing. Joining us now from Chicago is Diane Swonk, Chief Economist of Grant Thornton. Diane, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
And first of all, what does this decision by the Fed to hold interest rates steady for now indicate to you about the state of the economy?
Well, basically, the Fed is really walking a very fine line. They've marked down their forecast twice in the last 6 months. They actually expected 3 rate hikes in October when they last did this forecast. And then in December, they marked it down to 2 and marked down their forecast for growth. Now they've gone even further to no rate hikes in 2019. It's across the board a much weaker forecast. But that said, we saw Chairman Powell really walk the line very tightly and play very carefully to script. And I think this is important. What he said was that there's no data to suggest that the Fed should either raise or lower rates right now. He expects the economy to still be very solid in terms of growth in 2019. It is slowing from what he calls a strong pace in 2018. We know these subtle changes in verbiage are important for the Federal Reserve. What's also important is the Fed has been humbled, even though we've seen an acceleration in wages, which they welcome, this final acceleration in wages that we're seeing in labor markets so tight, they're finally lifting people's take-home pay. It's not been accompanied by a pickup in inflation. And in fact, inflation, after moving up a bit, has decelerated. And that means that perhaps they can let things go a little bit longer without interfering with the expansion. There's a risk in this kind of environment, though, when they move to the sidelines, that the market gets too much of what they want, that all of a sudden they start worrying about, wait a minute, if the Fed doesn't think there's any rate hikes out there, is the next rate move maybe going to be down instead of up?
Now, the Fed is forecasting 2.1% growth this year. The White House is talking about growth above 3%. President Trump, as recently as last summer, was predicting economic growth in the 5% range. Why is there such a difference?
Well, first of all, we didn't used to see the Fed come out with so much detail and so frequently with their forecast. And they really are two different forecasts. The White House forecast for 2018 was correct. It was about 3% growth, and that's about what we got. So they have, you know, a feather in their cap for that. But remember, these two forecasts are for very different purposes. The Federal Reserve has to make a forecast based on what current policy is. You know, they can't make assumptions about whether there'll be additional federal spending or additional tax cuts or changes in trade policy. They have to wait for those things to occur to react to them. And they're trying to make a forecast based on the best they can to produce the best monetary policy decisions at the moment in time they make it. The White House, on the other side, is making forecasts sometimes with assumptions about different policy changes down the road. Also, ideology gets involved, and there are political pressures in an administration's forecast. It's not the first time the Federal Reserve and an administration have disagreed on forecast or been different on forecast, but we see them differently now because the frequency at which the Federal Reserve actually produces their forecasts.
Diane, one of the things in the economy that is so big and it got us into the financial crisis in 2008, at least in part, was the housing market. And when economists like you look at the housing market right now, some of them are seeing a slowdown. There's a story in the Wall Street Journal today that says jumbo mortgages dropped last year 12% by dollar volume. Is the housing market cooling off, and how concerned are you about that?
I've been concerned about the housing market for a while because it can cool off up to 2 years ahead of the overall economy, and it peaked several years ago. It peaked in 2017. We have seen some renewed applications for housing sales in the spring. As we get into sort of May and June, we should see the fruits of that. The problem is the applications that have picked up in response to lower interest rates since the Fed made this pivot in policy, which was in early January, I think is really important because those applications have shown down. Wealthy buyers are back, but those entry-level buyers that finally rejoined the pack in 2017 and 2018 are now back on the sidelines again. Millennials are the hardest generation hit by the crisis. They were hit on their lifetime earnings because they graduated into a recession. They were hit with an overhang of debt, and now they're hit with their ability to climb the ladder of wealth in terms of buying a home. They've deferred and delayed everything from childbearing to marrying to buying their first home. And that's for economic reasons. We've really sold that generation very short.
How likely is it that there will be a recession this year in your view?
I don't think we're going to get a recession this year, but I am one of the few economists out there that's been humbled in the past by when you're standing in the sun, you need to look in the shadows. So I do have a recession in 2020 because I think it's important to hedge your downside risks when things are going well. You need to look in the shadows to see what might sneak up on you and also look for shelter once the storm does come.
That is Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton. Diane, thank you.
Thank you.